Welcome to Everybody Can, a conversation about volunteers and volunteer opportunities in Jefferson and Coulomb counties. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey, and I'm back from a long break, and I feel rested and ready to go. Our show is inspired by the words of Dr. Martin Luther King, "Everybody can be great because everybody can serve." We bring you information about the people who volunteer, serve on boards, donate, and sometimes show up to build what King called a beloved community. Today, we are talking about the volunteer opportunities with the Jefferson Healthcare Foundation. We all know what that is and where they are. Joining us today is Elizabeth Clapp, who is the HR business partner for the Jefferson Healthcare, and Chris Lawson, who serves as the Jefferson Healthcare Hospice Volunteer Coordinator. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thank you, Sheila.
Elizabeth, you are the HR business partner. How did you find yourself at Jefferson Healthcare? What's your path to this?
My path is been enjoying this community for decades for summer vacations. I have family that live here. I come out of the Olympia area and was looking for an opportunity to change and wanted to join the family on the peninsula. Fortunately, at that time, Jefferson Healthcare was looking for an HR professional, and I was recruited to that position.
So you've always done HR kinds of work?
Yes, HR for about 20 years, and then manufacturing operations for about 10 years. So I've now dated myself.
Yes. Is this your first time working with volunteers, and what is your role with the volunteers?
Not my first time. I professionally and personally have been an avid volunteer. In the 70s, I was a program manager for a retired senior volunteer program, RSVP, which is part of our federal volunteer organization that sits under with the Peace Corps and VISTA, etc. I, starting again as a high schooler, was a volunteer. I'm not sure where that passion came from, but as a young adult, I started with volunteering with Special Olympics and pet therapy programs and United Cerebral Palsy. And here in Port Townsend, I'm on the board of the Gathering Place and have been volunteering there since I came to Port Townsend to make dog biscuits on Friday is how I got involved with volunteering. Now, when I was hired as the HR business partner at Jefferson Healthcare, one of the areas that I was going to be overseeing was the volunteer coordination for the hospital as well, which I was very excited about doing because I believe strongly in giving and serving.
You know this. This is your experience.
Yes.
In your body. So what do the volunteers do for Jefferson Healthcare?
I was just talking with a gentleman who had called in from the school commission wanting to talk about volunteers, and he referred to Jefferson Healthcare as a little city. We do primarily, of course, we're our healthcare organization, but in order to run that healthcare organization, we do have all the various ancillary services going on. And in any and all of those aspects, whether it's clinical or administrative or dietary or environmental services, any of those areas, volunteers certainly help the organization.
And can you pick out one of those areas and just sort of tell us specifically what they might do if you wanted to volunteer, say,
sure,
for clerical work or?
Yeah, so we have three very distinct self-sustaining groups. And I go to them, Sheila, because they're a group of volunteers that are really managing themselves. And so I like to speak highly of them. We have the auxiliary who entirely runs our gift shop, for example. The gift shop at the hospital is completely supported at all levels by volunteers, including managing the shop and buying for the shop. And then the hospital is rewarded by, at the end of the year, their profits come back to us in the form of equipment. We also have an outstanding group of volunteers that are called our assistant chaplains. They're called assistant chaplains because they come to the hospital with a spiritual presence. What they're actually doing is they are patient-facing and in the room supporting and being a compassionate presence with patients and family. Another self-sustaining, outstanding group, and probably our largest group of our 120 volunteers, is the hospice corps of volunteers.
Which brings us to Chris.
Yeah, Chris and she can talk towards how many of the hospice volunteers are out there. They are also a very unique, committed group that operates as a group within the volunteer group of the hospital. We then have our hospice volunteers that are providing an enormous service to our community.
Great.
And Chris is the coordinator over that group.
Hello, Chris.
Hello.
Did you get to this by way of managing volunteers or by hospice work itself? How did you get yourself here?
By being a hospice volunteer for 20 years.
Yes.
In Seattle. And when my husband and I moved over here just 3 years ago, I wanted to continue in hospice. So I took the training here and became a volunteer here as a hospice volunteer. I found them looking for a coordinator, and I raised my hand, and fortunately, I got that job. So now I'm the volunteer coordinator for hospice.
You know, a hospice, I mean, I used to be, I just retired a few weeks ago now, as an RSVP director here in the town. So I know hospice is a particular, very specialized volunteer gig, not for everyone, but I think it has some great gifts. So tell us, who volunteers to be hospice, and what do they get for this, and what do they do?
There are many roles for hospice, and I'm going to correct you just a little bit, is everyone can do hospice. What I mean by that is there are so many different roles in hospice that anyone who believes in the mission of hospice and what it stands for can be a volunteer. So, for instance, we have direct patient care, which is the most common and what most people understand, and that is visiting a patient and their families in their home or their place of residence. And as we know, some of the places of residence can be a skilled nursing facility. But these volunteers can offer respite time. That means a break time for the caregiver to go take a nap or run some errands. They can be a companion and a friend to the actual patient. We have people who are volunteering to do dog therapy. We have musicians who will come in and play music for the patient and the family. There's bereavement also as a special part of being a hospice volunteer. So there, we need people to do some filing for us, for heaven's sake.
Right.
You know,
we always need that.
We always need that.
And you know, also, you know, you're right. Hospice is for everybody because in your life, you're going to do hospice for someone.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And the focus, I think sometimes people forget that the focus is in the patient, but it is also, we consider the family the unit of care. So we are looking at the primary caregiver, the spouse, the child, including with the patient. So it can be all-encompassing, and there are so many services that these families often need.
And so what kind of training? I imagine it's pretty special training.
It is special training. We have training that will be beginning actually at the end of March, and the training will be, it's usually about 18 hours of training. And what that will include, and all training will be on Saturdays, because as we know in our community, we have a lot of retired people, but we also have younger people who are still working and who would like to volunteer. So we're setting that up so it's just going to be on Saturdays. Yeah. And the training ends up being a lot of nuts and bolts, as I call it. That is understanding what hospice is, what hospice people, quote unquote, do. We have training for HIPAA, which is the privacy piece of it. But then we have the more soft skills of how do you communicate? How do you listen? How do you become a presence? How do you
serve
in keeping in mind always that this is about this family and these patients, and it's not about you. And you have to be able to communicate and understand and listen of what do they need. Some need to talk about the spiritual part of it. Some never want to talk about the spiritual part. So it's training in that. And I think the way I put it is learning how to be a presence for this family.
It's beautifully put.
Thank you.
Great. For a moment, let's look at the other end of this. What do you think the impact is in both of your groups for the patient, for the staff, and for the volunteer? What do you notice about your volunteers?
Well, I'll jump in here. I have a core of current volunteers at about 28 volunteers. We have some volunteers who have been hospice volunteers for over 30 years in our community.
Oh, my.
And what we, as a former volunteer, what we gain is incalculable. Can't add it up.
Yeah,
that word. It's so important that it's very difficult also to put it in words. You are serving, you are loving, you are caring, you are, again, I go back to that word, you're a presence for the family. We get cards, donations, almost every single day from family members who say thank you to hospice. You changed everything for us to allow us to be caring for our loved one without having to worry about certain right. aspects.
And what do you hear from the volunteers about their experience as a volunteer with you at the hospital?
At the hospital, I have experienced over the course of the last 4 years an enormously wonderful supply of community members that come forward, and they either present with pretty specific, I would like to be patient-facing and be able to serve in this way. But as many as those present, so do they come forward and say, I'd like to do whatever needs to be done. How can I help? And so the community is an incredibly supportive presence for the hospital. Back to your initial question about staff, it's the proverbial couldn't really make a lot of what we have happen if we didn't mm-hmm. have that extra pair of hands. And that's how the staff at Jefferson Healthcare feel. In most cases, our volunteers are very satisfied with the opportunity to help. That's the reason they came forward.
And what kind of vetting do you do? What's the process of becoming a volunteer? What does that look like?
So in addition to, as Chris was mentioning, that in the hospice area, there is a carve-out of specific hospice training because of the nature of that area of service, all of our volunteers do go through an onboarding process. You're coming into Jefferson Healthcare, which is highly regulated in regards to healthcare and regulated because we're a public municipality. So we are a public entity and have to operate as a public entity. That isn't really entirely what drives us, though. What is driving us is that patient safety is one of our number one priorities. So in order to volunteer, you will need to go through a criminal background check. The most important thing in addition to the criminal background check is that what I refer to as we will establish a medical chart on you. And that is, have you been exposed to TB in the last year? We must verify that you're immune to measles. You have to be immune to measles. We do other things. If it's flu season, we're going to make sure you have a flu shot. We're also going to verify immunity to chickenpox, and we're going to, depending on where you're at, possibly do a respirator fit test. So Employee Health Services at HR will, at Jefferson Healthcare, will onboard all of the volunteers in regards to medical chart. Then we also have an access and confidentiality agreement that's going to be read and signed, and an application that you're going to complete.
References, I'm assuming.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Two references are going to be requested that are not related. And
you know, that process tells me, as a volunteer manager, how important you think the volunteers are. You've invested a lot.
Correct.
To make sure that volunteer is there and ready to work.
That's, correct.
That's pretty amazing.
And I do want to say the list that Elizabeth gave you is important, and yes, all volunteers are required to fill out the forms and have all of this in their file. And it sounds pretty complicated, but it's not as complicated as it sounds. I mean, there's a couple forms to fill out. The background check is a pretty automatic sort of thing. You know, the medical records.
You're at a hospital. You're going
to. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it sounds like a large list, but it can be facilitated quite easily.
Is it the same process for hospice,
yes.
pretty much?
Yes. And then with that, because they're considered an employee or volunteer of the hospital, mm-hmm. so they will have all of this same regulation to follow. And then on top of that, they'll have their hospice training.
What do you most enjoy about working with volunteers?
The most is a difficult, the dedication, I believe, and the willingness to serve and the desire to serve our community. We have people who are snowbirders, actually, and so they're not here in the wintertime. They're back a day from the Southland. And they're like, we're ready, we're ready. Come on, give me a patient. I'm ready to go back to it. I mean, it's wonderful, the dedication. And I think, too, for them, it's the belief and knowledge that they are making a difference. They don't do it for themselves, but that's a pretty wonderful thing to understand that I made a difference. I was able to do something for someone else.
You know, we live in a community of such high numbers of volunteers, yes. You know. So when they pick that spot, mm-hmm. it needs to be a good fit. They need to be vetted. Sounds like you're doing exactly the right thing. Mm-hmm. Anything else you would like our listeners to think about if they're thinking about volunteering? What would you like them to know about volunteering with you?
I just want to say one more time, there are so many ways to volunteer with hospice. And as you mentioned earlier, I have heard people say to me when I said I was a hospice volunteer for 20 years, oh, I could never do that. And I want to say, yes, you can, because there's so many opportunities and so many needs that we have, not only in the community, but also in our program.
And our culture is, you know, just slightly death phobic, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
It's really good to actually confront this a little bit, don't you think? Well, thank you both for coming in today, and hope to talk to you again soon about this. And I would like to come at some point here and maybe the March training. The March training is March 18th?
I don't have the specific date it's going to be right.
In March. And how many Saturdays would that be?
4 Saturdays, just 3 hours. And then we will have some roundtable talking with our seasoned volunteers so that you will learn the experience directly from them.
From them, great.
Yes.
You've been listening to a conversation about volunteering with Jefferson Healthcare Foundation and the Jefferson Healthcare Hospice. I'd like to thank Elizabeth Clapp and Chris Lawson for coming in today and sharing the opportunities that are there for you, listener. Everybody Can is a production of KPTZ.org at 91.9 Port Townsend, Washington. I'm your host, Sheila Ramsey, and our production coordinator and today's engineer is Mike Schletzer. I'd like to thank program manager Larry Stein. I'd also like to thank the incredible volunteers who work to bring us all eclectic music, along with local news and conversation here on the North Olympic Peninsula. You can also join us on the web at kptz.org.